human life achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Narayan is the transcendental personality of Godhead beyond the material creation. Everything that is created, sustained, and at the end annihilated is within the compass of the Mahatattva, or the material principle, and is known as a material world. The existence of Narayan, or the personality of Godhead, is not within the jurisdiction of this Mahatattva, and as such the name, form, attributes, etc. of Narayan are beyond the jurisdiction of the material world. By the speculation of empiric philosophy, which discerns matter from spirit, or by the cultivation of mystic powers, which ultimately helps the performer to reach any planet of the universe or beyond the universe, or by discharge of religious duties, one can achieve the highest perfection, provided one is able to reach the stage of Narayana Smriti, or constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead. This is possible only by the association of a pure devotee who can give a finishing touch to the transcendental activities of all jnanis, yogis and karmis in terms of prescribed duties defined in the scripture. There are many historical instances of the achievements of spiritual perfection, such as that of Sanakadi rishis or the 9 celebrated yogendras, who attained perfection only after being situated in the devotional service of the Lord. None of the devotees of the Lord ever deviated from the path of devotional service by taking to other methods as adopted by the jnanis and yogis. Everyone is anxious to achieve the highest perfection of his particular activity, and it is indicated herein that such perfection is Narayana Smriti, for which everyone must endeavor his best. In other words, life should be molded in such a manner that is one is able to progressively remember the personality of Godhead in every step of life. And the Prabhupada. Om Agyanam Taranda Shagana Svakana Shakshava Nijamna Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Vipare Simati Bhakti Vidanta Swamini Ki Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivisheshi Shandavari Pasyat Sitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Krara Shri Vasari Gauravasta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, the highest perfection of human life achieved either by a complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. This is the opening words of Śrīla Śukadeva Goswami, foremost devotee of the Lord and the foremost devotee in foremost personality in that great host of great personalities. And he's talking here about the ultimate thing is at the end of life, whatever it takes, you somehow remember Vishnu, then your life will be successful. So it's the same theme as in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying the same thing, that you always think of me, become my devotee. That's the most confidential knowledge. Although Krishna, he's describing the different processes of karma, jnana, and yoga, and also these will also be explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam in much more detail, and also in analogies and real histories of the yogis, of the karmis, of the gyanis, and the scientific method of those processes also. But ultimately they're to serve one purpose, that is to remember Narayan. This is the conclusion. So we're starting off here with the conclusion, and this is how things are often presented. One starts with the conclusion, and then tells why it's a conclusion. And you go through the Bhagavatam, why it's a conclusion, and the evidence to support that, why it's a conclusion. And then the Prayojana was also explained, like in the 10th canto. There you read descriptions of the devotees who are always remembering Krishna. And then at the end again it will summarize. And in other words, this is the to remember Narayan is the perfection. And then it goes so many different ways. It'll repeat the same thing over and over again, because we're not going to accept just on the first day that remembering Krishna is the perfection of life, especially at the time of death. You just have to remember Krishna. That's too simple, right? You just remember Krishna at the time of death and that's it. You go back to Godhead. That's just too simple. Must be more than that. So what is it? So therefore you've got the whole Vedas to exercise your thinking power and your intelligence. Spread it out over there. Millions of verses, if you can ever find them nowadays. So that's what they do. Because people are just not ready for that. And some people don't want that. Some people... because to remember Narayan, remember Krishna at the time of death, one has to practice in this life. And it says 24 hours a day, if you remember Krishna, then you're sure to remember at the time of death. Because that's what you always remember. You have to practice remembering. But some people don't want that. Because it's an interference with... I mean, they have other priorities rather than to remember Krishna. And that may interfere with those other priorities. So therefore, because they're faithful persons, and civilized persons, so therefore they accept another religious system of Vanashram, or Karma Yoga. And when they advance a little bit more of the Jnana Yoga, and the even more so the Sangha Yoga process. But in all of those, it's like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's describing all of those things to Arjuna. But he's concluding every one of them with the purpose of we're saying that the purpose of it ultimately that is to remember me, or become my devotee. For the karmas, it's what is that? Abhichet to racharo. That whatever you do, that's the end of karma. Whatever you do, whatever you give away in sacrifice, or your austerities practices, or whatever you do in that Vanashram system or karma yoga, you do as an offering from me. That's the end of karma yoga. The Abhichet Sutaracha, or that one. Then for the yogi, yogi nam apisarvasham, that of the best yogis, Krishna's saying that of the tapasvis and all that, the yogi is the best, by becoming a yogi, and of the best yogis, one who always abides in me is the greatest yogi. Prabhupada mentions here the purpose of yoga is either to achieve mystic powers, or really their side benefits. The real purpose is the goal of the yoga system ends in samadhi, right? The Ashtanga yoga system. When you get up to 8, then samadhi. What is that samadhi? You're meditating on the form of Vishnu. In other words, you're remembering Vishnu. So that is the actual goal of yoga. So Krishna says that, and for the Jnanis also, Krishna says after many that after many, many births of being a Jnani, one comes to that understanding, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. And then he surrenders to Krishna. He understands after many, after all that, all those births of studying and bending your brain and pulling your intelligence here and there. Yes, this is what he said on the first page. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where is the Son of Sons? We should surrender to Him. But it took that. You have to do that. It may take so many births to go all around the universe in different bodies and different ways, testing, because we just can't accept it on faith, unfortunately. Most of us. So therefore, we have to learn. But ultimately, you've got to come to that point of ultimately, you've got to accept a program given by the Lord. That is, if it's the Lord that's given the program, Krishna says, the Vedas are coming from me. I'm the compiler of the Vedas. And he's summarizing the Vedas in Bhagavad Gita, and he's explained it very nicely here in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Sarvadhamma Pratyajan. That the purpose is just to surrender, is to come to the point of surrender unto me. So this is religion. Someone else said, Prabhupada, that question. What is religion? Prabhupada said, there's no religion. Religion is to surrender to Krishna. All the others are concoctions. It sounds a little fanatical, but that's what it's saying. The purpose of religion is to surrender to God. Ultimately, I think that all the religionists will agree that, at least whatever their concept of God is, whether it's nothing or everything or whatever, they'll all agree that the purpose is to become united with that one. That complete unification. Your natural position is, according to the absolute, the Supreme Personality of God, it is to engage in service. That is the natural function of the living entity. So they all agree on that. That to reach the ultimate goal, they all agree that there is the different ways to do it. But that is the ultimate thing, to attain that union with the Supreme. Whatever the idea of the Supreme is. So Krishna, so he's saying here, the Rishis, why don't we just accept on the strength of these personalities, the greatest personalities on the planet. The greatest, all the intelligentsia of the planet was here, it says. And not only the planet, the universe, all the greatest souls, they were all here at that time. But they all agreed, either verbally or by silence, that Sukadev was the one fit to speak. That means they all accepted Sukadev Goswami. And Sukadev was a pure devotee, pure unalloyed devotee of Krishna. A great attachment to Krishna, great love of Krishna. And Maharaj Parikit, he was the perfect person to ask the question, because it was also a great lover of Krishna from his birth. So that this was a perfect combination there. And everyone agreed. Nobody objected, this may be the wrong person. The yogis were there, the karmis were there, the jnanis were there, everyone was there. All the self-realized souls were there. They didn't say, this is the person. They all accepted, this is the person. And also in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, he spoke on it. There was others there also, but why did he speak to Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita? Because you're my dear friend. You're not envious of me. You're my dear friend. You're my devotee. Therefore, I'm speaking this to you. Otherwise, but who's Arjuna? He's a devotee. He's a bhakta. Because it actually can only be really understood through the medium of bhakta. So Prabhupada said, only by when they come into contact with the pure devotee of the Lord, they can. The finishing touches of their gyan, of their karma, of their yoga, will actually fructify when they come into contact with the. So that's what that will do. Generally, that will bring them. Of course, the gyan is a little risky, so because it often tends towards impersonalism. But otherwise, it will bring them eventually. That will bring them into contact with a devotee. If the gyanis are inquisitive enough, they want to know. They want to know more and more and more. So eventually, then they'll stop there at the devotees, unless they're over intelligent. Then, because at a certain point, the devotees won't. As we heard yesterday about Rupa Goswami, he wasn't interested in discussing philosophy with some mundaner who wasn't a devotee, which is just a gyani. So they just agreed, okay, we sign your patra. So like that, then when it comes to with the bhaktas, when there's if there was a debate with all the different with the yogis and the gyanis and the karmis or the dharmis, then after some time, maybe the devotees wouldn't want to stay in that discussion, because when it gets up there, it gets a little bit offensive. When it starts getting to the impersonal, then it comes a little offensive. Otherwise, the gyan is coming from Krishna, is Vedic, but so it's good. It's Vedic philosophy up to a certain point. But because they're stressing generally on the impersonal aspect of the Lord, then they conclude that everything else is Maya. So up to that point, it's okay, but when they start to identify themselves as the Lord, and they say that the Lord is any form is Maya, so then the Lord is also Maya, Vishnu is Maya, Krishna is Maya, Ram is Maya, and Shinga is Maya, ultimately, then it's offensive. So then the devotees will just let them carry on debating what is supreme and what is not supreme. And the devotees, the fortunate ones, they will go along with the other devotees. So it'll always be like that, because Krishna will always give he won't force himself on everyone, except only Lord Chaitanya will do that by overpowering the living entities with love, so they have no choice to surrender. But generally he's not going to interfere with our desire and whatever we want. If we don't wish to surrender to him, then he'll give us so many ways that we don't have to surrender to him. So that is the Lord's independence. He's a person like us. We're just like him in some ways. We have that independence. We have our likes and dislikes. And whatever we like most, whatever we value, what's in our heart, that way we'll go. And it's very difficult to change, as we know. Like here, we're all trying to change our value system. And therefore we take up this path of sadhana, bhakti. But it's difficult. Difficult to restrain the conditional nature, isn't it, from going here and there in the mind. It's a very difficult task, we know that. We self-realize, that's why we're here. We're having problems with that. we want to become focused and fixed and peaceful, just performing devotional service. But our conditional mind has got another idea. Our conditional nature has another idea. So it's always pulling us here and there, chasing after the senses and the sense objects. So nothing's easy in the material world. But of the easiest things, then devotional service is the easiest thing. And you're doing it for Krishna. And why not, Prabhupada said, why not think of Krishna? You remember Narayana Smriti, that we're thinking of so many things all day. So the idea is just to, why not think of Krishna? You can't stop thinking of things. You can't stop remembering things. So why not just remember Krishna, think of Krishna? In fact, that's our first rule in Krishna consciousness. Always remember Krishna. And never forget him, in case we can't remember Krishna, we've got a backup. Never forget Krishna. So that's, but that's a practice, because we're not used to that. We've forgotten all about that. That's been taken away, that remembrance, and constant remembrance has been taken away when we left the spiritual world. So now we have to reevoke that original consciousness. And this is what's called Krishna consciousness in practice. We're practicing trying to be natural. It's ironic, but that's what we're trying to do. It's natural condition is to always remember Krishna in affection. But because we're always remembering our senses with affection, and our sense objects with affection, then we have to reverse the situation. So this is a hard, what we call, why it's hard. But it's no harder. It's no harder than, whether you're doing it for Krishna or doing it for yourself. What's the difference? You're doing exactly the same thing. You're using the same amount of energy, the same amount of brain power, the same intellectual capacity you're putting on. Right? Bhakti is not demanding any more of us than we're putting out into the material life, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. It's not asking any more of us. It's the same energy we're putting out. Just the only thing changes is the consciousness, is the value. That's all that's changed. Why we do it. Not what we do. That's coincidental. What we do. Of course, there's some restriction there, but that's just coincidental. The main thing is the consciousness of why we're doing, not what we're doing. So there's no difference. So it's not harder than material life. Spiritual life can't be any harder than material life. We're not tapasvis. We're not performing tapasya. Right? We're eating, sleeping, mating, defending. We're doing the same thing as we were doing before. Now we're doing Krishna. That's all. This is only that idea, only the mind, the consciousness has to change. That's all. So we can't say it's just difficult because why is it difficult? It's difficult because we can't do it. Because I can't do it, it's difficult. Therefore something is more powerful than me, I don't like that. Therefore it's difficult. It's some obstacle. I want it to go this way and it won't go that way. Once again, mine wants to go the other. Therefore it's very difficult to very difficult. Oh, it's the same thing. It's difficult to follow the mind. Actually, yeah? If you follow the mind, you end up in another body in some universe or other. We've been doing that for billions of births. The mind has been dragging, they've been running after the mind for countless births and deaths and old ages and diseases. So what is easier? Nothing's easier in the material world. If you say devotional service is easy, you mean Maya is so easy. If you say devotional service is difficult, that means Maya is easy. Otherwise, what are you comparing it with? It's just in the mind that this is, because I like this. There's some shelter there in the mind you go there. You think, oh, that's some relief. But look at the price you pay for it. Another bird. And you don't actually get any satisfaction for long. You may get what you want, but it doesn't last very long. It goes away, then you've got to try. And as a result of that, you've got to take another bird. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. But we do it anyway. Isn't it strange? At the risk of another birth. So that means we don't really think this life is so bad after all. How can we? We could have a real, if we could really see what the Bhagavatam is saying here. I mean, it strips everything threadbare, like the first couple of slokas. if that went into the heart, but no, it goes into the mind, and we make adjustments. Yeah, it's like that, but somehow that we can weave our way through and adjust. Or I'm a special person; it won't happen to me. It doesn't affect me so much like this. Otherwise, why don't we just drop it immediately? No question of intelligence. We actually believe it. But you go and do it. So the mind is very stubborn. So the mind is the king of the senses. So all of a sudden, after millions of birth or millions of years as being the emperor, the king, you'd say, oh, you got to get down off the throne. Intelligence says you get down off the throne. No, I'm supposed to be guiding you. So the kings don't do that. When someone says get off, they don't do that. They take out their sword and say, yeah. So that's a problem. You've been used to it. The mind's been used to it, having its own way and dragging us all around the universe because we didn't listen to the intelligence. The intelligence is fostering to them. Intelligence is bewildered in ordinary sense. Intelligence is bewildered. So it's just following the mind's whims. The mind says, I like this, and intelligence makes a program how to achieve it. Oh, I don't like that. Intelligence makes a program how to, you can avoid that. So the intelligence is fostering to the mind, but actually the mind should be taking direction from the intelligence. The intelligence bewildered doesn't have any direction. They're therefore bewildered. And then the chariot, the senses of the horses and brains of the mind and the intelligence of lost control, driver. Fashion's just freaking out. What's going on? Screaming around the universe. Different bodies, birds, bugs, beetles, and eagles, and demigods. Sometimes happy, sometimes sad. Doesn't know what's going on. Can't stop. Just watching this picture go past, just absorbed completely in it. Doesn't know what's going on. Don't see a beginning, middle, or end. So that's the nature of this material energy. It just binds us up so tightly. So remember Krishna. Then you're immediately protected. Immediately you forget your name. You're on your own again. That is how it is. Prabhupada's given this evidence here at the bottom. He's given evidence of the Yogendras and how they came to post as devotional service because they weren't successful in their own thing. And it is Prabhupada said here, you never heard of anyone who's left the path of devotional service and taken to another path of karma, jnana, or. And we see the devotees that leave ISKCON, they don't join another movement unless they're funny. You know. Otherwise they don't, because they know that. They've heard the truth. When they hear you won't get a better philosophy than this Sanatana Dharma. Complete. You don't go to other practice karma yoga or jnana yoga or astanga yoga. Generally, unless they was already doing it before, they may go back into that. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada has made this as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We have the same idea. We want to become Krishna conscious. So therefore, it's made it very easy that we can all associate together. And all struggle together and enjoy together in the process of Krishna consciousness, because without the association of devotees, it's going to be really difficult. Because everything's against us. Every atom is against you in the material world. You've got not only all these philosophies, all these different religious paths. really, ultimately, they're meant for Krishna, but who knows that? The people that propound these religions or systems, who knows that? That's not their goal. Generally, it's peace, shanti, or swaga, or isn't it? all of those different philosophies. So it's bewildering anyway. Even if one is sincere, even if one actually becomes, I want to understand the meaning of life. It's so difficult. There's hundreds of millions of different so-called spiritualists or saviors out there, and they're all bewildered also, isn't it? Millions of them around the world. So that you got. So even if one is serious, even one can figure out that the, you know, there is something else besides this. Huh? So everything's against you. Every atom is against you in the material universe. Durga's there. She's trying her best. Adi Atmik, Adi Devi, Adi Bhuvik. Kali's there. He's trying to all means to upset you through different ways. Then you got all these. Apart from then, your senses have been bewildered. The mind is weak for so many years in the material world. Then on top of that, even if you can see a little light on top of that, you go to someone and you get misled. Difficult. You know, Durga does a good job. She's Krishna's prime entity. She knows her business. So what a benediction, huh? A society of devotees. What a benediction. Huh? What intelligence, what a wonderful gift to us that the acharyas have given. We can associate with those people, and together we can be strong, together we can do it. And Krishna will be there to help. Otherwise it's difficult outside. Right? Someone, you go outside and someone say, take a cigarette. Come on, what's the matter? It's sissy. I was at Amela once. We had a program there. And I was watching them. They was making these chocolate bananas, dipping these big bananas. They were really delicious. I mean, it wasn't. But I thought, well, great, we could make some of those for Prashadam and Vishnu. And he said, you want one? So I was standing there a little while watching what he's doing. I said, no. He said, no, we don't eat chocolate. You know, we don't eat chocolate. So that's how they feel, you know. Even chocolate, you know, you guys are real sissies. But that's the rule. So it's difficult. It's difficult there. And if you refuse, but here, if you go somewhere and light up a cigarette in the toilet, someone will smell it. Hey, what's going on here? Hey, what are you doing? Oh, you're in my probably stuff. You feel so bad, you know. So it's complete reverse to what you get outside. They're all offering you these allurements, and here there's a complete opposite. They don't do it. You know, it's what you're doing. So it's such a benediction to have the association of devotees. So we appreciate all the devotees and the endeavor that it takes to actually keep the movement, to keep the association of devotees together in such a terrible condition like it is in Kali Yuga. It's actually, what Prabhupada said, it's not an easy thing to start a spiritual movement in the material world. In fact, it's not. It's amazing how we are. And but the historians say if a religious movement or a movement like that, it's still going strong one decade after the founder has left, then it's set to be a major religion. So we're into our third decade today. According to history, it's set to be a major thing. And it is. Daisha Bhavada ki jay, Shabhadam ki jay, Daigo Kavandi, Hari Hari Bhu. Hari Hari. Any comments?
Yes, sir. If you have some contact, like if you hear Holy Name, or maybe you chant Holy Name once, you don't chant regularly, are you guaranteed to go back to your contact?
Are you guaranteed to go back to Godhead if you chant Hare Krishna one time?
Yeah, if you somehow step into devotional service.
Yeah, you're guaranteed to go back. Not only that, even if you take Mahaprasad or Charanamrita, you're guaranteed to go back to Godhead. He doesn't say when. It means that is so powerful, the Holy Name is so powerful, and of course they're not different, Charanamrita, Mahaprasad. It's so powerful that it won't go away. The only thing that can destroy it is aparat, the effect. That sukriti you get from that will stay there. And it can only expand unless you make aparat. So eventually it will, you know, you can't keep it covered. You won't be able to keep it covered all the time. Eventually it's going to come up. So therefore they're not overstatements, the shastras, when they say this. But it doesn't say this time. It doesn't say this lifetime. By that, eventually then you'll come into, just like all the karmis, jnanis and yogis, eventually they'll come into association with devotees. set right. Don't take it easy. You have to be diligent. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.